The Olivet Discourse by J. Preston Eby. Chapter 8, Coming with Clouds. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24, verse 30. One of the rabbinical names for the Messiah, based on Daniel 7, verses 13 through 14, was the Cloud Man. Daniel writes, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Christ, of course, is plainly identified as the one who comes with the clouds in the salutation of Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Furthermore, when our Lord was adjured by the high priest to tell whether he was the Messiah or not, Jesus answered with the old equivalent of yes. Then he said, Ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Mark 14, verse 62. This identification was more than his enemies could bear. And so we read, Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Mark 14, verses 63 through 64. Why should the high priest and those assembled think it such blasphemy for Jesus to say not only that they would see him sitting on the right hand of power, but also that they would see him coming on the clouds of heaven? The truth is, they knew that our Lord was claiming to be the Son of the Blessed God, the one who would come in the cloud of glory which had once filled the temple at Jerusalem. Furthermore, they clearly understood that the clouds upon which Messiah would come were not fleecy white clouds which scud across a summer sky, but in all reality they would be the blazing Shekinah cloud which from times of old had veiled the divine presence. How well the rabbis of Israel understood the true implications of Jesus' words. One of the old rabbinical terms constantly used to describe the glory cloud of the Old Testament is the Hebrew word Shekinah. The rabbis used this beautiful term to describe the cloud which so gloriously surrounded the presence of God, like thunderheads from which lightning blazes forth. The Shekinah is described in the book of Exodus as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In other words, this amazing phenomena which led Israel in the way had the appearance of a lustrous cloud in the bright light of the desert sun, and in the blackness of the wilderness night, it blazed like a great bonfire as it spread out over the camp. In Exodus 13, verses 21 through 22, we read, And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. There are several things to observe about this passage. Let us note that there was but one pillar of both cloud and fire, for when shining in the dark, it is still called the pillar of cloud, Exodus 14, verse 19, or the cloud, Numbers 9, verse 21, so that it was a cloud containing the fire. By day, it appeared as a cloud, in contrast with the sun, but by night as a fiery splendor. Romans 9, verses 15 and 16. When this cloud went before the army of Israel, it assumed the form of a column or pillar. But when it stood still above the tabernacle or came down upon it, it most probably took the form of a round globe of cloud. This cloud of the glory of the Lord protected Israel by day from the scorching of the desert sun, and by night gave them heat and light to break the desert chill. Exodus 16, verse 10, chapter 40, verse 34, and Numbers 17, verse 7. It lighted Israel's path by its splendor, and led them as a guide in their journeys. It also threatened destruction to those who murmured against God. Number 17, verse 10, sending out fire against the rebels and consuming them. Leviticus 10, verse 2, and number 16, verse 35. Section, the glory cloud. In this cloud, Jehovah, that is, the visible representation of God, was really present with Israel, and God spoke to them out of the cloud. This is highly significant. The Shekinah was the visible appearance of the divine majesty, the eternal Word, which in the fullness of time was to be made flesh and dwell among us. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Exodus 13, verse 21. God was in the cloud. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I will come unto thee in a thick cloud. Exodus 19, verse 9. And again, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Leviticus 16, verse 2. And in seeking to express the wondrous appearance of the presence of God in the pillar of cloud and fire, the word glory is used. For example, in Exodus 24, verse 15, it says that a cloud covered the mount, while in the following verse, it says, the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. The indwelling presence visibly manifested himself by means of the cloud, which enabled limited physical beings to see the invisible presence of the spirit being in the midst of the Israel camp, just as the humanity of our Lord Jesus exegeted God. John 1 verse 18 and chapter 14 verse 9. God was in the cloud, and yet the cloud itself was the visible representation and manifestation of the God who dwelt in the cloud. It is important to note that the same cloud of God's presence and manifestation later became the cloud which rested upon the tabernacle and which dwelt over the mercy seat between the cherubims. And so we read, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. Exodus 40, verses 33 through 38. Again, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Leviticus 16, verse 2. Isaiah testified, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God. Isaiah 37, verse 16. Many years later, when Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, God chose to dwell there also in a mighty manifestation of his presence and glory. And it came to pass that the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. 2 Chronicles 5, verses 13 through 14. Section, God speaks from the cloud. One of the significant facts in connection with the cloud of God's presence is that God always spoke from the cloud. This began first on Mount Sinai. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, and the Lord called Moses. Exodus 19, verses 9 and 20. At a later time, God spoke from the same cloud after that it had descended upon the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Exodus 33, verse 9. Section, Jesus and the cloud. Now let us see that not only is God identified with the Shekinah, the cloud of his glory, in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. For example, in Mark 9, verses 2 through 8, It is obvious that a parallel is being drawn between the Transfiguration episode and that of Moses on the Mount, the cloud, and the one who speaks to his servants from the midst of the radiance of glory. Please observe the marked similarity which exists between the Transfiguration experience and that of Moses going into the blazing cloud on Sinai. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, that is, the law and the prophets, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Compare here Exodus 24, verses 15 through 18, and Leviticus 16, verse 2. The thing of utmost importance for us at this time is to grasp the full import of these words of the Father, Hear ye him. It was always the mighty God who spoke out of the cloud. And now that voice comes out of the excellent glory and commands that from this time forth, the only voice we are to hear is the voice of the Son of God, Jesus. The great revelation here is not that the Father now ceases to speak and from henceforth leaves it unto the Son to speak. The simple truth here revealed is that the voice of the Son is the voice of God. It was Jesus, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, who was speaking from the cloud all the time, away back on Mount Sinai, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and from between the cherubims of the holiest of all. John caught the reality of this and declared, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 1. He then speaks of the Word as light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness. John 1, verses 4 through 5. This is strikingly reminiscent of the wilderness experience. We read, And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. Exodus 13, verse 21. The Scriptures also declare that God is light, 1 John 1, verse 5. Also that he is the light of Israel, Isaiah 10, verse 17. And Jesus most assuredly identified himself as that cloud of light which led God's people of old. For he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, a moving light as the fiery cloud, shall not walk in darkness, John 8, verse 12. John, after referring to Jesus as the Word, which was the light, continues, And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. John 1, verse 14. In the wilderness, this glory, this cloud, and the voice out of the cloud are all brought together. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the 7th day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire. Exodus 24, verses 15 through 17. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Son is enveloped in the cloud, and we are commanded to hear him. The writer to the Hebrews then identifies this voice and this glory in these words. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. He is indeed the presence in the cloud, and the very cloud and fire of the presence. In this connection, it is interesting to note that in the wilderness, the cloud of his presence covered and overshadowed the tabernacle of God. 1,500 years later, when Jesus was to come into the world as the beginning of the greater tabernacle of God, we read, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke 1, verses 34 through 35. So let us understand that it was the same Shekinah glory cloud in which the God of Israel dwelt, and which overshadowed the place of his tabernacle among Israel. Yes, it was the very same cloud of his presence which overshadowed Mary, so that the mighty God of Israel could indwell her, and come forth as a flesh being, to be God manifested in the flesh. The angel did not plant the seed in the woman, but the overshadowing of the power of the Highest did. Christ was conceived in the glory cloud. The one of old in the cloud of glory was Jesus, the Word, the voice out of the cloud, the light that guided Israel. And that one was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so that we might perceive who he is, he stood in the cloud of glory on the Mount of God. In the midst of that cloud, we are commanded to hear him. And when all other manifestations were passed away, the disciples saw Jesus only, the one who is the brightness of God's glory, the one who is the Shekinah, the cloud of God's presence. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Matthew 1, verse 23. But let us be assured beyond any shadow of doubt that this is the same Shekinah, the same glory cloud which is referred to in Acts 1, verse 9, where Luke tells us that when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. An accident? A coincidence? Not in your life. This is the equivalent of saying that the cloud which hovered over Israel in the wilderness, the cloud which rested upon the tabernacle of old, the same cloud which dwelt between the cherubims in the most holy place, the same cloud which filled Solomon's temple so that the ministers could not minister, the very same cloud which overshadowed Mary in the day in which she was with child, the same cloud which enveloped the Son of God and revealed his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, that cloud is the very same cloud which received the Lord Jesus into its midst and out of the sight of mortal eyes. The cloud that received Jesus out of the sight of those startled disciples that day was most certainly not some fleecy white rain cloud which happened to be floating across a summer sky. It was the blazing Shekinah cloud which veiled the divine majesty of God from time immemorial. Section: Why God had enveloped himself in a cloud of glory. Why had God chosen to reveal himself in the form of a glory cloud? Romans 1 verse 20 says, "For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks." Reading from the Amplified Bible. This verse teaches us with great truth that every natural thing that God has created is a type and representation of great spiritual realities. This principle is involved in all of God's physical and material creation. So you see, God did not make a sun just so this planet could have natural life upon it, but God made a natural sun to portray to us the spiritual truth that God is light and in him is no darkness. Understanding natural light enables us to understand God as spiritual light. We could heap illustration on top of illustration, but the question at hand is, why had God revealed his presence in a cloud? There are several very important reasons. Time and space do not permit us to engage in an in-depth study of these reasons, but we do wish to point out one of them in particular. The Spirit gives us a clue to one of these reasons in Psalms 104, verses 3 and 13. O Lord my God, Thou art very great, who layest the beams of His chambers in the water, who maketh the cloud His chariot. He watereth the hills from His chambers. Clouds pour forth rain and water that refresh and give life to the creatures of earth. Even so, God by His Spirit gives living water to refresh and impart spiritual life unto us earth creatures. So it is most significant that Jesus should say to the woman of Samaria, as they conversed by the well, Whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. John 4, verse 14. And again, when at the Feast of Tabernacles, he stood in the temple and cried, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. John 7, verses 37 through 38. There is a most remarkable incident which took place in relation to the glory cloud when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. This incident is little known by God's people, but it happened to testify to us of the great purpose for which God had enveloped His presence in a cloud. It pointed forward to the great work of the Holy Spirit during this and subsequent ages. Paul refers to this event in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 2, thus, Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Note that Paul says that the Israelites were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then in Exodus 14, verses 16, 21, 22, and 29, it is repeated no less than four times that they passed on dry land through the midst of the sea. God, therefore, baptized those Israelites on dry ground. The sea was indeed rolled back by a great wind, and the ground became dry. But let us notice in Psalms 77, verses 15 through 17, and in verse 20, what else happened at that time. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The clouds poured out water when the children of Israel had crossed the Red Sea by the hand of Moses. Israel was thus baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And drawing upon the imagery of this first recorded baptism, God all through the Scriptures has enshrouded Himself in a cloud to declare that He shall rain all He is upon us. Through Isaiah, he declares, For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. Isaiah 44, verses 3 through 4. David prophesied of the coming of the Messiah, and described his coming in these words, He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish. Psalm 72, verses 6 through 7. Joel prophesied, And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and also upon the servants, and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. Joel 2, verses 28 through 29. Hosea exhorted, Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea 10, verse 12. The Lord Himself says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily. Hosea 14, verse 5. that our Lord is coming in a great spiritual outpouring of himself is made plain in Hosea 6, verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Hallelujah. The primary purpose of a cloud is to pour forth rain upon the dry earth. This, therefore, is the real meaning of God manifesting himself in his glory cloud. Little wonder that the scripture proclaims this. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Revelation 1, verse 7. And again, and Jesus saith unto him, the high priest, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Matthew 26, verse 64. The ministry of Jesus is the ministry of God poured out upon us. He is coming to us as the rain. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Acts 2, verse 33. The sleeping church, of course, wherever they see a coming mentioned, can think of little else except a physical ride into the rain clouds of our lower atmosphere, being whisked away into an ethereal state and experience of their own invention, where they intend to float around dressed in white nightgowns or something similar, eating what? Section, coming with clouds. Here is where I wish to point out a most significant fact of Scripture which has been entirely overlooked by the average Bible student. All the way through the Scriptures, from the crossing of the Red Sea to the ascension of Christ, God consistently manifested himself in one glory cloud. There was always only one single cloud. One cloud over Sinai, one cloud resting upon the tabernacle, one cloud in the Holy of Holies, one cloud filling Solomon's temple, one cloud overshadowing the Virgin, implanting the seed of the Christ, one cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration. And finally we read, And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud, only one, received him out of their sight. Acts 1 verse 9. Christ ascended in one single cloud of God's Shekinah, the very same cloud in which he had manifested himself throughout the long ages of time. But it is when we come to the second advent of our Lord, his coming again, that we notice a distinct difference in the circumstances surrounding that coming. For suddenly the one single cloud disappears, and we are introduced to a great plurality of clouds. Let us see. Christ departed in one cloud. He comes again in many clouds. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1 verse 7. Daniel saw him thus. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and there was given him dominion. Daniel 7 verses 13 through 14. Jesus himself said, And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24, verse 30. And again, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Matthew 26, verse 64. And finally, the Apostle Paul tells us that at the time of Christ's coming, Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. In the clouds, more than one cloud, many clouds, a great company of clouds. The question naturally follows, why are there many clouds attending Christ's coming again, and what are these clouds? To understand this truth, let us not for one moment forget that we are dealing with the cloud of God's glory and presence, the Shekinah. When Jesus, the firstborn Son of God, was in the world, John said of him, And we beheld his glory. John 1 verse 14. When did they behold his glory? You might say that they beheld his glory as he went about doing good, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, performing miracles, and teaching the glorious truths of the kingdom of God. Surely all those things were an aspect of his glory. But Peter pinpoints for us what is really meant about them beholding the glory of the Son. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, his glory. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, the glory cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 18. How very significant it is that at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me." John 17, verses 20 through 24. And this is the crux of the whole matter. From the creation until Jesus came, God has dwelt alone in his own glory. He, the one eternal person of God, manifested himself in one glory cloud. But here, Jesus breaks forth the great truth that God has purposed from eternity to share his glory with all his sons, that glorious body which is the fullness of him who filleth all in all. And so we read, "And ye know how we exhorted you, as a father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you to his kingdom in glory." 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 through 12. Peter asserts, "I also am a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." 1 Peter 5, verse 1. Again, the scripture says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Hebrews 2, verse 10. That there is to be a revelation of the glory of God, that same glory which was revealed in the cloud of old, is evident. Paul says again in Romans 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." When Jesus ascended 2,000 years ago, he ascended glorified in that singular glory, one cloud, in which he had dwelt from eternity. He was the one God manifested in all fullness in one man, the Son. But when he comes again, he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in them that believe. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 17, "And if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." It is not hard to understand that since the glory and majesty of the mighty God is now to be shared and imparted to a vast company of sons of God, that each of these sons, to whom is given that same glory that Jesus had from eternity, shall stand in his own realm of the glory of the Lord. The glory is shared, so the cloud which symbolizes that glory is shared. Each son becomes a manifestation of the glory, of the cloud, the Shekinah. Each son is to be an expression, revelation, and manifestation of the person of God. There is still only one person of God, but he shall eternally dwell in a many-membered body. We are that body. Hallelujah. The cloud of old rested upon the tabernacle and filled the temple with the glory of the Lord. We are now his temple. We are now his tabernacle, his ark, his holy mountain. The glory is now given to us, rests upon us, fills us, dwells in us forevermore. Under the Old Testament economy, God dwelt in one singular cloud. But now he says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16 through 18. Note, the cloud over Israel was also a fire. And what do we see on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of Jesus was poured out upon the waiting disciples? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, verse 3. The same glory cloud of fire, but distributed as a flame to each one. What then are those clouds which and in which he comes again? Why, we are. 2 Peter 2, verse 17 and Jude, verse 12, both tell us that false ministries are clouds without water, carried about of winds. A true ministry, then, is a cloud with water. A true ministry has life to give and is willing to empty himself out in order to be a blessing to dry and thirsty people. Jesus was a cloud with water, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life. Matthew 20, verse 28. The one glory has become the multiple glory. The one God is manifested in a many-membered Son. The one cloud of his presence has become many clouds of his presence in his people. Isaiah spoke of this day, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness upon the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 2. The sign of the coming or presence of the eternal God has always been the Shekinah glory. It was his sign to Moses, and when our Lord comes again in a many-membered body of saints, it will be in the clouds of his presence that we might be clothed upon with the same glory with which he was clothed from eternity. Another proof that the clouds with which Christ comes are in reality the sons of God in their glory is couched in the terminology of the Scriptures on this subject. Note that in most places the verses in question speak of Christ coming with clouds. There is only one other group or plurality of objects of which it is said that Christ comes with them. Note, to the end he may establish your hearts at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Jude says, And Enoch also prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Jude verse 14. And again we read this testimony, And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Zechariah 14 verse 5. John, speaking symbolically in prophetical language, sees the same thing in vision, and writes, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1, verse 7. Section, The Cloud of Witnesses. Most assuredly, Paul gives us the true meaning of the clouds of heaven when he says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race. And this great cloud of witnesses, which he is talking about, are simply the overcomers of all ages, those who were either literally or figuratively sawn asunder, beaten, slain by the sword, being destitute, tormented. They were stoned, mocked, scourged, imprisoned, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews 11, verse 35. This old world is soon to be ruled by a great cloud of witnesses, of overcomers, by those who will exalt the Lord of glory, and not try to exalt themselves above the glory of the Lord. Paul calls them a cloud or witnesses, and they are most certainly the ones who are now going to be perfected, Hebrews 11, verse 40, who are going to receive all the glorious fullness of the Lord for this new day. They are going to manifest his glory and power and majesty, not their own. In other words, He, the Lord of glory, is coming to be glorified in his saints, coming to be exalted and magnified and lifted up before the world, in and through these who suffered in order that they might reign. And while a literal rendering of our phrase in question is coming above the clouds in heaven, yet it could also be rendered from the Greek as coming upon the clouds of heaven. He is going to pour out of His Spirit on these saints in all fullness. His glory is to be seen upon them. These who dwell in the clouds of glory shall not only reign upon the earth, but they shall also reign, R-A-I-N, upon this dry earth, and all nations shall be watered and given life in that day. Amen. End of chapter 8 and end of the series, The Olivet Discourse.